Welcome to the Azure for Sports podcast, hosted by the Azure for Sports team at Microsoft.
Hello and welcome everyone to the latest episode of the Azure for Sports podcast. I'm Suzanne Tedrick, Infrastructure Specialist for the Azure for Sports teams. As always, I am joined by my Azure partner in crime for data and AI, Mr. John Flynn. How are you doing today, John?
I'm doing well, Suzanne. I'm loving the warmer weather. We should start doing these podcasts outside.
I agree, but like where I am, it would be a very interesting podcast. And it then would be more about the fun that is the East Village of New York City versus the application of Azure in the sports world. But that's an idea we should think about.
Different kind of sport, maybe for a different episode.
Exactly. We are so happy to have on today our colleague, Cloud Solution Architect Jake Switzer, to talk about his new technical book, the Microsoft Certified Azure Data Fundamentals Study Guide, which was just released earlier this month. And we couldn't be happier for this accomplishment. I should also add that Jake wrote this book as he was planning a wedding and with a full-time job. So if that is not boss, I don't know what is. So Jake, congratulations on the release of your book.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Suzanne. And I can't take too much credit for the wedding planning. That was definitely my beautiful wife. She did so much of the work, absolutely incredible job putting together the most amazing day of my life, which was very helpful as I was writing the book and doing my full-time job with yourself and with John, made a quite a busy schedule for the last several months.
Yeah, I can only imagine. And you did it. You did everything wonderfully. I have a copy of the book. I've been using it myself to study for the DP 900 exam that it's aligned to. And I really enjoy the writing style. It's really in technical depth. And hopefully I will do you justice by actually passing the exam once it is time for me to do that. Tell us a little bit about the book.
The book itself covers all of the topics that are in the Azure Data Fundamentals exam. It's the DP 900 exam for anyone who wants to look it up on the internet and sign up for the exam to take it. So it covers very broadly all of the Azure data services. So relational databases and Azure SQL, the open source databases that fall in the Azure SQL umbrella, Postgres, MySQL on Azure SQL, and then also NoSQL databases, the Azure Cosmos DB stack. So all of the APIs that fall underneath that, and then object storage in the cloud before moving into analytics and reporting. So Synapse, Databricks, Power BI, all of that fun stuff. Wanted to cover it all very broadly so that it gives the reader, anybody who's new to the Azure stack, a general idea of what all of the services, all of the data services in Azure look like and what they can do with them. What are some of the different use cases? How do you deploy them in an automated fashion? There's a lot of code snippets that go into that, a lot of examples of ARM templates and PowerShell scripts to go over automated deployments. So it gets into a lot of different topics and is really designed to help set up somebody who is new to Azure go into the next step of getting deeper and a bigger expertise in some of the different topics within that are covered in the book.
I think that's awesome. And one of the things that I find interesting is when I study, and I often joke that I'm about as technical as a remote control, and I often look at the books and the study materials, and they're just so devoid of actual real use applicability. So that's the problem with me. I don't get context from the study material here. Some of the stuff, Jake, when you were writing the book, I was often asking you, how do you make it identifiable for someone who's reading it? So if I'm new to coming in, if I'm coming in new to technology, and I don't necessarily know all the various types of databases that are out there and the various applicability for each one of those databases, how have you approached your writing style to be not only educational, but also to make that click going, oh, okay, I can now draw a correlation between using this particular technology with this particular use case?
Yeah, so I wanted to use use cases that are very popular and also very, very simple. So breaking it down into different analogies, different metaphors that anyone can take from real life and then apply to a technical scenario. But coming into the book, I'm also assuming that the folks that are reading it have at least some sort of a slight computer science background, not really a very deep one, but just enough so that they have an understanding of what is a relational database, what is a NoSQL database, and it sets up a foundation for getting into the broader topics within the book themselves. So if you're coming in brand new to computer science, and some of the topics may be a little bit more, it may take a little bit longer to grasp, but it's definitely designed to be more of a seamless sort of introduction into Azure versus anything else.
Awesome. So look, I have the copy. It's not autographed yet. I don't really know why. So we're going to have to work on that one, Jay. But we look at this and the three of us suit up and we do a lot of work in the very limited hours that are given in any given day, right? Whoever decided 24 hours a day was enough clearly didn't work in professional sports. So with all that going on and the amazing wedding happening, why write the book, Jake? Why now?
Yeah, so it was an opportunity that Suzanne, she came to me with it back in May of last year. As many of you who listen to the podcast, I'm sure know, Suzanne is a published author and has written for Wiley before. And her editor came to her asking, hey, we're looking to get into the technical exam guide space. Do you know anybody who would be interested? So Suzanne reached out to me because we were working very closely at the time. And it's not necessarily something that I had ever thought about, but it was one of those opportunities where if I said no at the time, the door was going to be shut and that was going to be the end of it. So I figured, hey, I could write this book. And if I don't like it or I don't like the experience, then I'll be done with it afterwards. But on top of that, a big reason for writing the book is I started my career at Microsoft 9 years ago, straight out of college. And throughout that time, there have been several different ways that I've learned the tech stack at Microsoft, whether it be the on-prem technologies or the technologies in Azure. And it's a hodgepodge of different training methods. And I always thought a lot of the technical books that I've written, some being good, some being not so good, I've always thought of how would I put together material to teach people, to give them a head start on a career in Microsoft technology. And if I ever had an opportunity to do that, how would I do that? With this opportunity, I finally had the moment to really put my money where my mouth was and to actually do it. And so that's what going into writing this book, that's what I wanted to take out of it was, all right, I've built up all of this knowledge over the last 9 years. I've held a couple of different roles at Microsoft. Let me put my experience as a fresh out of college, new professional turned into a cloud solution architect over 9 years. Let me take that experience and put it into a book and really give back to those who are maybe in my shoes or who are starting their careers right out of college or new industry professionals who are making a switch. Let me give back in some way with this book and help give them a leg up in the industry.
Awesome. And you've helped me specifically. So thank you for that as well. I want to tie it back to sports, Jake, if you would. So all the conversations that we have with these sports teams and leagues up and down various disciplines here, for the new entrance into the sports team from a technical or slash analytics slash cloud perspective, or even new to Azure, do you see a lot of what the contents of this book that you wrote for the TP900, do you see a lot of parallels in the initial conversations that you're having with new employees or new to us employees at these clubs?
Yeah, no, definitely. And a lot of that experience is stuff that I actually use for my book. The sports teams, they do a great job of hiring very smart people and just incredibly talented people across the board. Several of them with backgrounds in physics and mathematics and finance, all in all, very smart people who know how to problem solve. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they have a background in cloud computing or in cloud technologies. And so coming in, with a lot of the people that are hired into sports teams, they're able to put together, you know, some really beautiful code that does a lot of really cool stuff, but maybe it doesn't run as fast as it should with some optimal hardware, or maybe it could be optimized to run better for a given service, or maybe they could use a different service that works better than the service that they are using. And so that's where I think between myself and the other cloud solution architects who work with the sports teams, that's where we come in handy for them, is we're able to show them, all right, you guys have some really smart and some really cool stuff. Let's actually fit it and let's actually optimize it for a cloud platform so that you can do more with a lot of the data and a lot of the things that are at your disposal. For example, there are several companies now that provide spatial data for different sports teams and different sports leagues. A lot of the spatial data comes in very quickly and it's massive. If you think of spatial data for a, let's say, a baseball game, if you're taking a image of the field every split second, then that amount of data quickly piles up. And if you're not careful, then it can become just a jumbled pile of mess that is not usable. But if you really dig into what's there in the data, then you can grab some really cool insights that help you make new player personnel decisions, that help sports science decisions for medical purposes to keep maybe a pitcher pitching for longer before something bad injury happens or something like that. So being able to really get into that data to do some of the cool stuff that a lot of these folks can do can make a huge difference. And that's where the tech stack that's covered in the book, that's what this technology can do. And that's really what I wanted to focus on here and what I focus on in my day job at Microsoft. So
you did a great job. And I love the fact that, as John was mentioning earlier, I get a lot of value out of books that talk about the applicability of technology in the real world versus more of an academic discussion. And so having empathy for where the user might be in their career, like they're just learning not only data analytics, but just learning cloud computing. What are the things that they need to know? What are the things that are going to be relevant and help them hit the ground running, I think are very important. And for sports teams and leagues, that's particularly true because they need to be able to, you know, do things and make an impact in a, you know, very short period of time and perhaps with limited resources at their disposal, depending on what their organization is comprised. So I guess thinking about that a little bit and about the goals of the book, it is a book that is, you know, helping to build up your skills as it relates to the data and analytics products that are on the Azure platform. But thinking about who we serve specifically, why is the skilling aspect, and for that matter, why is certification something that is particularly relevant to them? Why should this be something that they make time to do?
Skilling in the technology industry is especially important for, you know, regardless of what company you work for, whether it's a sports team or another company, just because technology is constantly changing. So this isn't like a career where you go to school, you graduate, start a job, and you're using that same skill set for however long you're in that career. This is a job where every day almost you're having to learn something new to keep up with the industry. And so to me, I think it's very important for especially sports teams that are really trying to burst into this age of data to be able to use the technologies that will really help them dig into all of the data that's at their disposal and to set them up for all the technologies that are going to come in the future. I think that any sort of skilling you do today is good for setting up a foundation for whatever you learn in the future. Now, also talking a little bit more about the skilling aspect of it and the certification part of it. Certifications, to me, they're more of a validation of the work that you put in. They verify how well you've learned the material. Whenever I take certifications, I go to look at not just what I know, but what do I not know? What are some of the topic areas that within a certification where I struggle at? Because it gives me, or it allows me to really take a step back and think of what I may need to work on, what I may need to skill up on, so that I can do my job better for my customers. And the same goes for anybody at any company that's looking to do a technical certification. It gives that person a better sense of what they need to be ramping up on so that they can do their job better ultimately and feel more comfortable with the technology that they're working with. I've definitely been in positions throughout my career, especially early on in my career, being fresh out of college, lack of a beard, more hair on the top of my head, very, very young, where I would go into different scenarios working with technologies that I knew nothing about. And it's a very uncomfortable situation having to learn from, you know, ground zero up to the top in a very short amount of time. For me, the certification process, it just gives you a better sense of what's going to make your job a little bit easier.
Fair enough. And I think some of the things that I look at obtaining certifications are, number one is like, whew, I did it. But number two is that it does open up a pathway to something else. Either that's a next certification or a new technology, as you were just describing, Jake, that has its place for a purpose-built use case within a sports team or a sports league that you can then extrapolate across to everyone else because you're bringing your learnings with you. So one of the things that's interesting for me, and I'm keen to get your take on it, is that if you are a cloud practitioner or an analytics practitioner or a data practitioner in a sports organization, why would you want to get certified? Say, look, I'm doing my day job today. I'm pretty good at it. I landed the job, so clearly I must be okay. Why would I want to go down that certification path?
For one thing, so if you're already a cloud practitioner, if you're already working in it, I think it helps build your resume for career promotion, for salary increases, all of that good stuff. It gives you the ammo necessary to go into your boss's room and say, hey, I've gotten these certifications. It shows that I know what I'm doing and that I have, you know, a ton of value that I'm bringing to this company. And so it definitely helps with those conversations. It's definitely helped me in the past with those conversations. And on top of that, but to your point, John, it for me, it's almost like an ego boost, right? It justifies or it verifies that you know what you're talking about. If you go into an exam and you completely ace it, then it's almost like taking like a weight off your shoulders. Like, all right, I do know this stuff. I do feel very comfortable talking about this sort of stuff. Getting a certification, there are several different benefits to it. And as I mentioned, the career growth conversations, the ego boost, and then also just knowing, all right, so this is where the industry is. This is where Microsoft thinks its tech stack is. This is where another tech company thinks its tech stack is, given whatever certification it is. And this is what I should be learning and ramping up on as I'm doing some of my technical skilling.
Yeah, that's totally cool. One of the arguments that we have are centered around what you can do with the technology versus what technology to do it with. So obviously there are pluses and minuses on the actual flavor of technology that you use, and those are written down essentially, right? You can say A is A and B is B. But the conversations that we have, the three of us, when we get into a room with these sports practitioners are, what can we do together? What's that thing that's going to give us competitive advantage? What is that thing that's going to give us deeper insights into our fans, increase our revenue, increase optimization, right? And I'm a firm believer of, if you don't have that underlying certification, maybe if you don't have that underlying knowledge of the technology, you don't get to have those conversations, right? Because you don't understand the capabilities of the technologies that you're trying to employ to give you an outcome, right? Because it's one thing to talk about the art of the possible, as we do on a daily basis, but you have to be able to deliver. Because speaking about the art of possible, that's just a fiction novel at this point. We don't write fiction, we write facts. And we help teams write facts into their history and their lore to increase their fan engagement, to increase the player health, to increase scouting, et cetera. So I think you're spot on there. Plus the ego boost, come on. I tell people I'm about as technical as a remote control, as I said earlier, but I'm certified anyway. I'm certified in the good way. So I think it's interesting as well. One of the cool things I'd like to understand, and I got a little inside track to this, but what are some of the biggest challenges that you saw, not from a subject matter perspective, what are the biggest challenges you saw from just writing a book, going from I'm not an author to fast forward a couple of months, I'm now an author and married. Cool. So what are some of the actual challenges of writing that you saw?
Oh, How much time do I have? I'll save it for my therapist. A lot of the problem. But it's interesting finding balance between my full time job and writing was interesting. And then also, I had this conversation back in January with a friend of mine who had also written a book previously about how you're getting into a topic that you know that you've worked on it for several years, writer's block hits, and then you're just like, well, maybe I don't know this. And going down the kind of the rabbit holes that are all around just writer's block and trying to figure out how to put a lot of my thoughts into words. That was an interesting thing. But all in all, the entire process, the editing process was very fascinating to me. The several rounds of edits to make sure that the book has the quality that Wiley expects, as well as myself. Would love to think that the book doesn't have any typos or anything like that. And I know through all the rounds of editing, we've made sure that there are the least amount of typos as possible. And so that was very interesting in itself. But all in all, the process itself was long, but very rewarding, very fulfilling. I would say for anybody who is looking to write any book, I would recommend finding a good soft music playlist on YouTube and then just like letting that flow. I know there was like a couple of playlists or a couple of YouTube channels that were like coffee house vibe with like rain in the background, or when it was the winter time and I was riding and a little snow in the background with just some nice soft jazz. I kept my blood pressure down, so that all of that was very important. And then I would also say find a good scotch and have a good partner that will listen to you when you've just hit writer's block and you can't think of anything. That was very helpful.
You certainly echoed a lot of things that I felt during my process, Jake, although yours sounded a lot more healthier and less averages. Kudos. But you're absolutely right. It's an endeavor. It's, and especially when you're juggling the demands of life and the demands of work. And so being able to finish it and to have that support to finish it, it's so vital and so important to your success. So I'm glad that you were able to have those support mechanisms in place so that you could be successful. Thinking a little bit about your experience, what was, I guess, the thing that surprised you the most about the entire book writing process?
I think there are a couple of things. So I can talk about the formality of the entire book writing process, so all of the edits, coming back and how to review, and then also the amount of research that it has to go into it to really make a book a quality book. To touch on the first point, it wasn't necessarily a surprise, but it was more of an eye-opening experience just seeing how the process of making a book happens, because it is something that I've always been curious about. How do you get from Microsoft Word to a physical copy that you can put in your hands and read? And so seeing that entire process was really interesting, going through all of the revisions, especially the last round where the Microsoft Word gets turned into a PDF that you then go and you do some final edits and all of that. But working with the amazing people at Wiley that put together or took a bunch of just disparate Microsoft Word documents and put them into a single book, that was really cool and just an awesome eye-opening experience. And then also the research that goes into or that has to go into a book like this. Even though coming into this with 9 years of experience at Microsoft, several years now experience with cloud technologies, just to make sure that everything is accurate and that I'm not using an incorrect name or an incorrect spelling of a name, there's a lot of research that goes into all of that. But those are the two biggest things that I saw that maybe not necessarily surprising, but were definitely eye-opening for the entire book writing process.
Yeah, it's funny. You always have your hand in like a book or you're reading an ebook, but then you never think about what goes into how it gets to that point. And now from like start to finish, from coming up and conceiving an idea, research, writing, you see that process from start to finish. It's really amazing to see how that comes to life. What was fun for you as you were doing this?
I think seeing the entire thing come together, putting down all of my thoughts into words on paper, on virtual paper, Microsoft Word, was really cool. And then also getting to use diagrams that I've built out myself for customers and then for my own kind of edification, because I'm more of a visual learner. I can read a bunch, but if I put something into a process flow, then a topic makes a lot more sense for me. Being able to take those process flow diagrams, put them into a book that I can now see is really cool. I actually got to use the book. Yeah, there was something that I forgot the other day with a customer, just a topic, and I remembered that I had written about it. And so I went to the exact page where that topic was, got the answer, and was able to help a customer with that. And just seeing everything come together and a lot of stuff that, or my own written work get put into a tangible book, all really cool stuff.
So I think one of the coolest things on earth is to say, hey, I'm Jake Switzer, author.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, right? I mean, one of the many talents Mr. Switzer has and his ever-growing resume of additive talents to that. So what's book number two, Jake?
Oh, goodness. Maybe it'll be a tell-all series on the trials and tribulations of writing a book. That's what it'll be. Or a tell-all on my experience talking about a book that I've written in snooty New York bars. So, trying to relate to other authors.
I do have to admit that once you've gone through the process, if you've gotten your head, it's like this very romantic Ernest Hemingway-esque type of experience. It is quickly deflated.
Right. Now, I will say I did get the unique opportunity to have that Hemingway experience last year. My wife and I had the unique opportunity to be in Barbados for a little bit, just spending some time down by the beach. And while I was there, you know, I was still very much writing and putting the book together. That was a very cool thing to actually channel my inner Hemingway, to have a nice rum while, and then pause the writing after the rum became too much. And so that all of that was very interesting. But I can definitely see why Mr. Hemingway was in the Caribbean.
I like to think I'm also very Hemingway-esque, besides the writing part. Just take that out. It's going to be interesting. Maybe we can do some correlation of the chapters that were written on location in the Bahamas, in Barbados, versus the ones that were written in New York City. And they see the difference there. That's fun. But I think in all honesty, the book is a great book. And I'm curious, while you were writing it, was it helpful to think of the subject matter in context of your day job, meaning sports, right? Sports data. Or did you try and remove as much of that as you possibly could to make it more appealing to a wider audience?
No, I definitely think that taking my day-to-day experience and putting that sort of the learnings, like what would I talk to my customers about from a foundational standpoint, or how do I do that on a day-to-day basis, putting that into a book, there was a lot of, I took a lot of content from that experience. But prior to working in sports, I worked as a consultant with Microsoft and worked with customers in a wide variety of industries. So I was able to take some of that experience as well. But I definitely, because the book itself is very much a foundational book designed to help people get a better understanding of what the Azure data stack looks like, because I use a lot of that in my day-to-day job with, especially with teams that are newer to Azure or newer to cloud technology, I was able to take a lot of those experiences that I have and convert those into words that are now in the book.
Awesome. I think it's a fascinating process. And again, congratulations and well done. I think it's a tough thing to get a technical education book interesting in my mind. Like I said at the beginning of the show, right? A lot of the stuff I've read is so dry. It has no real applicability to the stuff I'm trying to do with it. It's really just zeros and ones that don't make any sense. But I think you've cracked the code here, Jake, on making a book not only informative, but also educational, but also interesting. Each chapter drew me into the content. And I had some sneak peeks with you as you were going through your journey as well, bouncing ideas off here and there. But congratulations to you specifically for making the book something that is interesting to read, but also absolutely educational and helped me in my day-to-day job as well. So I think it bears saying congratulations to you.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I definitely wanted to make it more like a conversation that we all have at work. It's, I don't know anybody who's been at a water cooler in the last couple of years, but the virtual water cooler talks where we all get together and just chat about our job and about different technologies. I wanted to make it more like that. I didn't want it to be so formal that it was impossible to read. I just like eating dry chicken without anything on it. It's the last thing that I wanted, something with a little bit of my personality in it. I have a couple of anecdotes and some metaphors that I think the readers will enjoy. And then I also wanted to make the book my own. Yeah, I wanted it to be to share some of my personality along with all of the technical mumbo jumbo that's in it. And yeah, I really appreciate the kind words there and the feedback. And when the next book comes along, that's definitely how I plan on doing it, making my writing style my own.
Awesome. Well, you definitely got a reader on the second book already lined up here, my friend.
Yeah, we didn't know if it was like, is it too soon to talk about book number two? But seriously, to echo John's sentiments, it shines through not only your love of the subject matter, but just being able to make it personable and relatable for anyone, not just for people that have like advanced computer science backgrounds, but for anyone who just has that, what should I know about Azure data and how do I, as a beginning practitioner, how do I start? And I think the book is well done and really speaks to the heart of accessibility and making tech something that's open to anyone, regardless of their background. Jake, well done. Congratulations. You deserve all of the kudos, and hopefully so when book number two inevitably does happen, you'll have some breathing room between there. To wrap it up, you talked about a lot of the things that were personal to you and interspersing them in the book. And I noticed in the introductory pages, you mentioned your love of scotch. So if you wouldn't mind sharing with us, what is your favorite scotch?
Yeah. So I am a big fan of scotch whiskey. It's honestly a pillar of mine and my wife's relationship, our joint love of scotch, and more specifically, Islay brand scotches. So for those of you who don't know, Islay is a small island off the coast of Scotland where all the peatiest scotches are. So it's an island that's chock full of peat. And so the scotch that comes out of Islay represents that. So Lagavulin, Lafroig, Ardbeg, all of that good stuff, that's where it comes from. My personal favorite is Lagavulin. I am a big fan of a Lagavulin 16. It's nice and smoky. It tastes like a campfire. It's almost like a big warm hug on a winter night. Really good stuff. And then Kaya, my lovely wife, and I, we recently received a very good Ardbeg for our wedding that is starting to rival the Lagavulin. So yeah, those are a couple of my favorite scotches. Can't recommend them enough to anybody who is looking to get into whiskey drinking and doesn't want to have to mix it with anything. They just want just a good whiskey.
Nice. I know when I have my next scotch flight, I know who I need to talk to.
I got you.
Jake, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure having you. If people wanted to get a copy of your book, where would they be able to find it?
Yeah, so if you would like a copy, either a physical copy or a digital copy, you can get it off of Amazon, of the Wiley bookstore, Barnes & Noble. Any bookstore that sells books online or in person. Just a quick side note, maybe one of the coolest parts of seeing the book online or just out now is it being on Barnes & Noble or at a Barnes & Noble store. Growing up, just like I'm sure several of the podcast listeners, I went to the midnight premieres of the Harry Potter books at Barnes & Noble. So to actually have a book at Barnes & Noble now is a really cool thing to see. It takes me back when I was a little kid. So all really good stuff.
I love that. And there is something to be said when you're like, I am on a Barnes & Noble shelf, that you can't beat that feeling.
Yep, 100%.
Any final words from you, John?
No, I've been on a Barnes & Noble shelf, but it wasn't because I wrote a book. But I think that's maybe that's a different episode altogether. But I just wanted to say, again, congratulations, and thank you for coming on the show, right? And thank you for giving us a glimpse, not only into what you do from your book writing, but also a little glimpse into you as well, right? Your personality shines in this book as well, and most of the teams and clubs that we work with know you very well, and that personality as well. It's a pleasure to get to work with you every single day, Jake, and it's also a pleasure to be able to help you with the book and getting the word out there, because it's something that is, again, just very interesting, well done. I think it's something that is going to be well received for a very long time.
Awesome. Thank you both for having me on. Really appreciate it. Appreciate the support throughout the book writing process. Suzanne, really, again, I can't thank you enough for reaching out when the opportunity came up, and also for hearing me out whenever I just general complaints about just like, how do I get through writer's block? What am I doing here? Yeah, having just your run-of-the-mill existential crisis on any given, you know, weekday as I was writing.
Jake, it's my sincerest pleasure. I mean, it was a no-brainer to be able to recommend you, and you did all of the hard work, and it certainly paid off. I'm just glad you still want to talk to me after the process is now complete. So.
Well, again, my therapist said it was a good idea not to completely shut everybody out. So, you know.
Awesome. Jake, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate having you. And with that, we're going to bring our episode to a close. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode. Please let us know if you have any thoughts on this and any other episodes that you'd like to see in the future. Until next time, take care, and we'll talk to you soon.